Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Can you get straight through the Levi's bit so we can? I need to ask them: is this even legal? Was tonight actually? Were laws broken? Because I feel like I've been on the receiving end.
It's the Matchball Podcast for that thing. Millwall, that was it, wasn't it? That's who we played. Millwall at Elland Road at home. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. 10% off your legal fees. Somebody at Levi's, just call one of your friends somewhere high up in some organisation and help us, please. And if you are moving house, please do get in touch with the Levi's conveyancing team.
A little word to Matt Bode has just 56 seconds ago tweeted us to ask if we could replace the podcast with some whale song or sounds of the rainforest. It would be much appreciated. Hashtag winning is meant to be fun.
I mean,
it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Come at me, stuff, really.
Come at me, bitches. What have you got?
I've got 3 points, and hey. I've got Leeds United top of the league, and I've got money in the bank.
So hit me with your thoughts on that particular brain assault.
Well, let's go back before we get all joyous. Let's just go back to the first half.
Yes. How to lose?
No. If it's going to be anything like a job interview, you've got to do the shit sandwich. So good stuff at the start, the crap stuff in the middle, and then the good stuff at the end.
Right, we won. But yeah, there was the first half first. Then the second half happened.
The first 10 minutes, how to lose all the goodwill that the club has built up over the last 10 days.
In minutes.
Not
what a fucking club!
Even before Millwall scored from the corner. All I wrote down for the corner was, where is it? I think I just wrote, corner to Millwall, etc.
I wrote corner far post being coming as a description of the goal. Because they'd already had a cross from their right, which we'd scrambled very unconvincingly away.
We just kept giving them the ball. That was the problem. Yeah. We looked nervous. And yeah,
I mean, that was a piss weak goal, wasn't it? It really was.
I mean, it's not even worth talking about. It was a corner.
He brought it up.
We can contrast it if you want the contrast with their corner in the last minute when Matt Smith is on the pitch and Kassir. I've never seen a better catch from the man.
I have to admit, at that point, I couldn't watch that. I turned away.
I celebrated that Kassir catch like one of the goals. I did a full on. Come on, yes.
when Big Machi came on. My only thought was just don't give away a corner. And then
see the thing that led to it as well, which was I can't remember who it was, but some fuckwit kicked it against his own leg.
Well, Smithy wanted a penalty for something, didn't he? He stayed down for ages. I couldn't see what was wrong with him, but I mean,
the referee, let's just say it would have been a brave decision to give
you
a
penalty. You know what the French are like? They're always striking about something.
I enjoyed the referee's performance in the first half because especially when he gave them that goal kick for our corner and Pablo Hernandez stood with him and made him watch it on the big screen and he was still like, nope, I've made the right decision. And the entire crowd, because he was basically giving the crowd the boost. It was like Jean-Kevin Augustin had been brought onto the pitch.
He said Augustin in a very posh voice.
He's got all Cockney, mate. Augustin.
I lost my thread halfway through.
I'll fucking get you.
It was like they brought Jean-Kevin Augustin onto the pitch to remind everybody, you know, things are supposed to be good. Come on, get behind the lads. Everything's fine. The referee was probably putting in a better performance to get the crowd on Leeds United's side than any of our players in the first. The penalty was. Well, the ball.
You're overlooking, by the way, before this, he'd given us a corner and changed his mind on a previous one as well.
Yeah, it was the second time he'd done it. It was great. Anything just to get the crowd calling him a wanker instead of Pat Bamford. At what stage did Bamford just kick that ball straight into the keeper's hands when he was 6 yards out?
That was quite 12 minutes.
On. Yeah, that was annoying. But at least we had Darren England there. People may remember Darren England. He sent off Calvin Phillips at Nottingham Forest last season and didn't send off Fox, their player, who did who committed the professional foul. So he has form with us. He was also the fourth official during our FIFA Fair Play award-winning match with Aston Villa. I think that was the last time he was at Elland Road, and he is not fucking welcome back. It was pointed out, this is, I mean, people hate me mentioning the gantry. They'll hate even more when I mentioned I was sat next to Andrew Hughes for most of the match. But it was passed down the gantry. Apparently Martin Samuel in the Daily Mail this morning wrote a massive takedown of Darren England's match at the weekend in the Premier League, saying that he's been promoted to the Premier League too soon. He's missed absolute cast iron decisions. Should not be refereeing at that level. And by the looks of it, shouldn't be refereeing at this level.
I mean, there was that thing
that was helpful.
Click went through in the first half as well, edge of the area. I mean, such a blatant foul by Woods. I mean, he took him down.
Yeah, and he did that big thing of, he did a big no more gesture to the Millwall goalkeeper when he was time wasting. And the Millwall goalkeeper carried on time wasting. Did he book him? Did he fuck?
He also should have sent Woods off in the second half when I think it was Clich again was running through, and Woods has already been booked by this point, and he clearly grabbed him with both arms and he just let him play on. But I say at that point, pull it back, send the off. He also in the first half,
he has to bleep this. It's awkward.
He deserves it. Let me have one. And also in the first half, he decided to play an advantage when we would have had a free kick on the edge of the box at one point. It was like, oh, no, I can see you've played the ball out to the left-hand side now. It's clearly a much better chance for you to score from out there.
And then the penalty from, as far as I can see with the stills on Twitter, the only one I've been able to find is doctored. So somebody's drawn the ball, the line around the ball, but it does look like that ball was out of play.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell from that still. I mean,
but then it also, as soon as all our players swarmed in on Budyarsson or whoever it was that went down, I knew we were going to kick him.
Yes. And it was Alioski, wasn't it, I think?
Of course it was. Yeah. I mean, there was about three players went in, so I didn't see what happened. But then again, I mean, it was Alioski did it. Of course it was.
What do you expect from somebody who was born with a frontal lobotomy already in place?
But wasn't he useful in the second half?
Yes.
Ran the game, bizarrely.
Him and Helder Costa in the second half, both absolutely superb. Sometimes you need that brainlessness. It's what I was saying about Pat Bamford, and often do, is that you need somebody who isn't thinking about what they're doing sometimes, somebody who's just instinctively just goes, I've got the confidence that whatever I do here will be right. Sometimes it'll be wrong, and it's a penalty against Leeds, but they'll just keep, but they won't worry about, right, I'll just do it again. Next time it'll be right. Whereas Bamford, that chance was so typical Patrick Bamford of just 6 yard box, running onto it, perfect pullback. Oh, just pass it to the keeper. Oh, no, I should have done something else. That's what
you just put your foot through it, is what you've been saying for weeks. And we don't want to get on Bamford's back because he proved the point tonight.
Two magnificent finishes.
Found his range in the second half. Open goal from an inch. That's the way to do it.
So, as I said, I was Andrew Hughes came and sat next to me.
Was that on the gantry? You should mention that more.
On the gantry more often. But it was useful because he was with another coach from Sheffield United, and they were actually all through the first half. He was talking to this guy and he was saying Bamford's movement, every time it doesn't stop running and every time moves, it's like when we're teaching somebody about running as a striker, watch Bamford now, watch how good he is at this. We didn't go on to discussing what he does in the 6 yard box, but 2-0 down, and they're discussing the game from the coaching point of view, and I didn't catch what the other one said, but Andrew Hughes just went, no, I'm happy with this. I'm happy with the game plan from Leeds' point of view. And he turned to me and said, if you're a betting man, lump on Leeds to win, because they're playing really well. They're doing exactly what they should. All the chances for Leeds, and he said, Leeds are going to win this.
I mean, that is the thing. I know it's hard to look at things sort of with a calm head at this stage, but they did just score from our weak point, which is the corner, very, very early. And the penalty is a really scrappy thing. Yep. When you take that out of it, we went at them pretty much all game. I mean, they looked
bad start.
They looked dangerous on occasions, but even still, on the balance of play, we mullered them.
We had that really weird, nervous start, which I don't know where it came from. There was a weird thing before kickoff as well, where the music stopped and both teams were just in huddles in silence for about a minute. And I think all the crowd was like, are we having a minute silence or something? So everything just felt a little bit weird at the beginning. And we corners, we know about it. But the rest of it, we had the chances to. It was, we've talked about the Bamba one. There was Stuart Dallas's header from a corner, which was before the penalty was given. So we should have at least got it back to 1-1 before we went 2-0 down.
Mm. There was a point I noticed in the first half. My conclusion at half time was I'd solved our attacking problem.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Is its name Jean-Kevin? Is that your solution?
I'd realised from watching it, we attacked too slowly. Or we certainly did in that first half. We do loads and loads of possession and good build-up play. But if you saw the number of times in that first half where we would have the ball in that typical edge of the area, out wide position that we do 99 times out of 100, and then have 9 men behind the ball, or 10 actually when you include the keeper, and we gave them so long to get back. But then in the second half, you saw the flip side of that when we started passing it quicker through the lines and people were a lot more mobile. But when we just play within ourselves and play that normal game, we just play far too slowly. So we still create chances and we dominate games. But it's exactly what we were saying before, right? We do that cutback and they cut it out every time, or we cross it and they head it out every time. And we never really look like scoring until we start moving it faster. That was the problem, I think.
I think second half as well, I don't know if they came out with the wrong mentality, because the first half they absolutely flew at us and took us by surprise. The second half, it looked like they just go, right, keep it nice and steady. We'll not get forward.
Frustrate the crowd.
We'll just hold two banks of four, nice and steady, keep it tight. But then we scored and complete panic setting.
Yeah, I give us the credit. It was, we came out, got the early goal, and we came out ready to win. And they couldn't cope with it after that. I was watching Rowett and his assistant in their dugout, and all through the period when we scored the three goals, it didn't look like they were making a substitution or anything. Their players were warming up, but there was nothing. But they just kept talking and they were kind of pointing on the pitch going, no, I don't think that'll work either. Not got a clue there. And they were just standing, watching and just kind of pointing something. There was nothing they could
do. How do we stop this happening?
And they couldn't. And we just attacked so relentlessly and we really upped the tempo. It's kind of what you're saying. We didn't worry about finesse. We just banged them for, how long did it take for us to score the three goals? Like 15, 20 minutes, just relentless. And at 3-1, then 3-2, 3-1, then, no, it was never 3-1, 2-1, then 2-2, you just couldn't see them withstanding it. And we've seen that often. It was a little bit like the closing stages of the Sheffield Wednesday game, when it looked absolutely nailed on that we were going to score, but there was a sucker punch. This one, we just weren't letting them out. And there was all those balls that Matt Click kept winning in midfield and would be driving straight into the box. Helder Costa was really good on the other side. Alioski winning everything. I don't think it was necessarily Millwall changing anything. It's that we played the way we played in the first half and the way we always play. It's just we did it with purpose and with tempo. We really increased the speed.
It was emphatic, wasn't it?
And we gave Bamford the chances he needs.
Yeah, absolutely right. I'm just looking at the Twitter comments coming in now, and Tom Carnduff is tweeting from the press conference saying Rowett's praising Leeds, saying they were beaten by the better side, and talking about coming up against teams that are at the next level. So fair play.
On Bamford's first goal, by the way, and to go back to Darren England, did you watch Darren England after that goal went in? In my head, I might be slightly paranoid say this, but he was begging the linesman to say that was offside. He was looking at the linesman with his finger to his ear, going, offside that, wasn't it? And the linesman clearly going, no, onside. He's going,
Sure.
Were they all onside? I think maybe. And he was like, well, you could see him talking to the linesman the whole way back to the halfway line, just thinking like, just go on, just tell me. Tell me he was a bit offside. Go on.
I have to admit, for all of our goals, I was thinking, is that been allowed? Is that been okay? Because some of them were sort of strolling back to the halfway line. And
Bamford had a very big look on that first one, looked around and he really made sure he checked with the linesman.
I've not seen it since, and personally, I hope it was offside.
Yeah, I hope they're all offside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even Pablo's goal.
And handballs.
Pablo's was strange as well, because I think there was a handball shout in the second before, and then the ball hit the net, and I thought, is there a possibility here he's going to go, oh, sorry, I had actually given a free kick for this.
Gave it already. It was difficult. That's the relentlessness of our attacking was that normally I try to make a note down of just all our like goal mouth incidents, but it got to the point where I'd be halfway through writing one and we'd have another. And I realised I just need to watch this and just not worry about recording it and just remember what I can remember. But yeah, it was that fast. So I was for 2-2, what I've got, Alioski smacks the ball into the 6-yard box and it went across everybody. But before I could finish writing down what had happened there, Ayling went and got the ball on the other side, got it back into the box, and it came to Pablo, and he has that volley into the bottom corner that may or may not have been deflected. I couldn't work out whether it had a touch. Yeah, he had just a weird kind of slightly slow bouncing trajectory, but couldn't tell if there was actually a touch on it from anybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So talk me through your reaction then at that 3-2 moment when that went in.
I felt a bit like crying for most of the evening, one way or another. The first half, I was as down as I've was at Wigan. It felt like it was going wrong, like very badly wrong. And I was looking at the live league table and I was thinking, fucking Millwall are 4 points behind us. Like 3 weeks ago, we were about 25 points ahead of Millwall. I'm sure they were nowhere near us. Like, they're going to be 4 points behind us here. We could be fourth, I think, on the weekend, I'd managed to work out. And I was fully prepared to just give it up as a bad job.
Maybe move to the other side of the world, Venezuela, something like that.
quite possibly.
Sell everything up, leave the kids, family.
Yeah.
Just go live in a hut somewhere in the jungle.
I'll just walk into the sea, do a full Reggie Perrin.
But then
it all... it's weird when we're talking about the differences in the physicality of the Millwall players as well. In the first half, they all seemed much bigger than us and stronger. In the second half, somehow that turned into them all looking lumbering cartorses. It was cartorses, that's a weird way of saying it.
Cartorses.
Cartorses, yeah.
This is we're live from Jean-Kevin Augustin's first impressions. They are all cartorses. Why is the goalkeeper holding the ball in his hands for so long? And his team full of cartorses. Hey, Mathieu, is it always like this here? Oui, Jean-Kevin. But now I go with my Millwall teammates.
We didn't even touch on the amount of other chances in that half as well, but Costa hitting the bar, Klitsch with that chance.
How did he miss that?
That was the one when...
I wanted to cry at that point as well.
He said he's still looking for the ball.
They immediately brought Matt Smith on at that point. I was like, right, this is where the Matt Smith brace, we then rewind to this moment of, that meme when it's... and that was the moment when he knew he'd fucked up.
Yeah.
Click putting that ball over the bar.
There was that awful Leeds United... The Leeds United gene, whatever it is that I've got in me, went, oh, fucking hell, that's going to cost us. Is that one? That's the chance that we'll rue.
It was amazing how the combination of that chance and then... I'm always half serious about Matt Smith being a good option for us because I think he would finish off Alioski's crosses. But also I do accept that, he's not the most, he's not Jean-Pierre Papin in his pomp. But it was amazing the effect that Klitsch miss and then Matt Smith coming on had on the crowd because suddenly I was generally wondering how can Matt Smith have this effect on a team that's top of the league in the live table and winning at home, and yet everybody...
You just see a big man and go, that's it, it's done, fucking hell, he's going to score.
When they got that, when they got the corner, did you feel the way that the entire stadium...
That's the corner that I celebrated, because I was like a goal, because I'd fully accepted that was their equaliser.
It was like being in a tennis stadium when somebody like breaks their leg really badly and nobody can lose it. Oh.
As well, I've written as down 87 defensive bollocks, which I've not... It doesn't quite...
Yeah, and next I put...
We just thought there were about five of them all trying to kick it at the same time.
We tried to let Millwall score, yes, is how I interpreted that.
I think at that moment, my interpretation of it was,
it was at the far end, so my view of it wasn't great, but it seemed like there were at least four or five players all trying to clear the ball, all kicking each other, yeah, and just letting them have it instead.
Every time I looked up for some reason, it was like Kiko had just given them the ball again and just rolled it out to their winger and go, do you want to have another go? I was like, why are we doing this? Why don't we just... The other end of the pitch, please.
The other injury time, terrifying moment as well, was when Dallas played a through ball in about the 93rd minute and he just passed it back to their keeper. It's like, no, Stuart, in the corner. Keep it in the corner, please.
Do you ever find, you know, like when those panicky moments are happening, like when you can't quite process all your thoughts at once, that your brain does make a noise? You don't ever necessarily let it out. You don't externalise it, but your brain goes,
This is where Alioski's useful. Yeah. So in that calmness of the first half, he gives away a penalty ridiculously. But then when everybody is losing their heads in the second half, the ball was out for a throw-in and he just calmly strolls over. He really likes the ball girl down in front of the West Stand. I've seen him a few times when we're slowing the game down. Goes over there, just slow down, go over there. Kiss on the head, takes the ball, takes a throw-in. Not a care in the world, the man. He just does not matter at all. Whereas... absolutely everybody else is frantic. And sometimes that's what I mean about, you just need somebody with that inner confidence of just whatever they're going to do, it's going to turn out fine. And the ability to ignore all the times when it doesn't.
What a club. I mean, what a club.
It was interesting watching little Ian, who was warming up in front of the West Stand as well.
That poor boy, only 19, having to witness that.
Absolutely loving it. When... the atmosphere was good on the equaliser. It was one of those goals where it's like a bomb has gone off, and it felt like, I don't think anybody did come on the pitch, but certainly the stewards were all making sure that wasn't going to happen. And I caught sight of little Ian running to the West Stand. I don't think he's quite familiar with who sits where in Ellen Road yet, but pumping his arms as if he was like trying to get them all on the pitch, like, yeah, we can come on. And then when Bambo did score the winner, he sprinted from in front of the West Stand behind the goal. He was the first one to get to Bamford and celebrate with him. I think he's very happy to be here. And it's what you were saying on the podcast this morning about John Kevin coming to a proper club at last. Never mind fake Red Bull nonsense. Never mind Monaco, where everybody's just, you know, I don't think they actually have a stands at Monaco. I think they just have viewing platforms where you just park your Ferrari like a multi-story garage behind the goal.
It does have a car park under the stadium, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go, you see. And Paris Saint-Germain, which is just, it's a brand of perfume. He's now, yeah, he's experienced a little bit. I think it's maybe good for him to have watched that from the stands. He certainly enjoyed.
With Benjamin Mendy, no less.
Did he indeed?
Yeah, we need a left back.
You do. Can we just get City to just cancel his contract and we'll have him on a free transfer?
Oh, he would do, wouldn't he?
But
for Bielsa.
I mean, I did, in the first half, I was wishing he was on the bench so we could just stick him on the pitch, make that 30-minute substitution, get Bamford off. But I think, in retrospect, for him to maybe just, and for little Ian as well, to just watch that kind of game from close up and just get a feel as to what actually can happen at Leeds, because they must have been wondering what the fuck they'd got themselves into at halftime. Yeah. Said, but I thought we were going for the Premier League. This is a relegation battle, no?
I did reply to John Kevin's tweets because he put first time at Elland Road tonight, and at half time I did reply to it saying, I wish I could tell you it isn't always like this. But the same applies at full time, in fairness, as well. There's normally some sort of mad shit going on one way or another.
It is not a place for sanity, is it? I mean, what do you make of Patrick Bamford's reaction to scoring that winner when he's cupping his ears again?
Because he wasn't cupping them, he was covering them.
Oh, was he?
He did, yeah, he did like Princess Leia, as if he was holding two donuts to his head.
Can't hear you or what?
I don't know what it was about, really, or if he was saying, like, oh, well, it's really loud, or just I'm not listening, or who knows? Who knows what goes through his mind? He's a funny little... He's a funny little bugger.
I didn't see him celebrating because my mate had fallen through his seat. The back had fully ejected from his seat, and he was kind of laying with his head on the row behind, looking like he might be badly injured.
There is a very good photo that Graham Smith has retweeted of Bamford just covering his ears and standing still and looking very stern, as if he's just...
It's the pose I normally do when Bamford's shooting, in fairness, yes. Is that...
He said it's normally over your eyes rather than your ears.
Now, we've got a great... on that point, we've got a great tweet that's just coming from Mertz88 saying, just looking back at my watch notifications, the moment the third goal went in, he got a notification saying, loud environment, sound levels hit 90 decibels. Around 30 minutes at this level can cause temporary hearing loss.
And that might have been what Bamford was all about, was just kind of...
How many ears?
Here is how loud it is. I do like to look on the best of him sometimes. Although I did have to check with my gantry pal Phil Hay when he a few minutes after the
are you on the gantry?
A few minutes after the third goal, he turned to me and was like, "Oh, it was a good finish by Bamford for that goal, though, wasn't it?" And I was like, "He was an inch out, and yes, he headed it into an empty net, but I don't know." I mean, he could not have missed that kind of thing.
Well, he might have tried.
He might have tried,
the work of Bamford that I most appreciated tonight was him stopping the goalkeeper kicking the ball in injury time, which the referee clearly should have not allowed him to do, because you can't do that. You're not allowed to stop a goalkeeper releasing the ball.
Didn't he book him for it?
He did the second time.
Right.
But he did it for about 30 seconds before he was just chasing him every time he tried to release the ball.
It was spoiling for that booking as well, and good on him.
Our photographer, the square ball photographer, Lee Brown, has got some photos of that moment. I bumped into on the way out, and he described it as Bamford doing the jellyfish. That's what he was. He was just waving his arms in front of him, arms and legs, doing the jellyfish to put him off. And yeah, it was very good.
The keeper did deserve a bit of his own time wasting, given I think we basically had to suffer 4 minutes of injury time because he'd taken so bloody long over everything. There should be a rule.
That's why
really.
He should just be booked.
There should be a rule where if you time wasted and then you turn out to be losing, that time doesn't get added back on.
I was thinking that towards the end. I was thinking, well, don't add any extra time on for them, because they've spent all half wasting it. This cancels it out when we're doing it.
What you do, prick, is if you've told him, if you've done a big this gesture where you're crossing your hands and saying,
no more
time wasting, and then if he carries on, do it, book him, and then he has to stop.
Yeah.
And then we don't have any of this, oh, maybe we should have like
a
shot clock like in rugby or something where we have a hooter
basketball
that says, where's the ball in play, out of play? No, just book the time-wasting wanker and it's all absolutely fine. But in defence of Bambo, because we have criticised him for that shot in the first half, and there was another one in the second half where it's edge of the box and he kind of dragged it back from their defender, but and there's no chance to shoot, but he has like a really weak shot and he knows it's not happening. But... So, yes, the two finishes from an inch out are not the most difficult chances in the world, but we've not been putting him an inch on with the ball an inch out for a while. And for as long as we are doing that and he nods the ball into the net
fine,
from an inch out, then Jean-Kevin can just sit down and watch, and that's absolutely fine by me.
Or he could come on towards the end, and then when it's getting stretched, just bray a few in. That's fine by me.
Or he could just start every game, and then we don't get to this position where we're desperately trying to roll the ball along the goal line to claw back a 2-0 deficit against fucking Millwall.
I think that's where the frustration comes with Bamford, because we saw in this game how when we scored, they completely crumpled.
Yeah.
And if we did sometimes just score those early easy chances that we seem to always get and always miss, then every game changes for us and we can just go out and beat teams.
That's what it is. It's that focus on that one in the first 10 minutes when he just put it straight in the keeper's hands from 6 yards out. I've not seen it back again, but it felt at the time like that's one that should just be buried. And if it is buried, we're back to 1-1 and we don't have any of the next 80 minutes of nonsense. But did I enjoy the next 80 minutes of nonsense? Yeah, I actually did. And I won. I won money, because when... Andrew Hughes told me that if he was a betting man, he would lump on Leeds. I put didn't get very good odds, but I put a fiver on us as soon as we went 2-0 behind, and then another sneaky fiver at half time, and won. I won some money. What's 67 minus 50? I won £57.
Good.
So that's all right, isn't it? See, kids, betting is good.
And what were your returns like tonight, Michael? Not to glamorise the whole industry, but it is becoming a running theme.
It was the usual confusing thing. At 1-0, I had money on them before the game. And the draw.
You had money on them before?
Yeah, I always put money on them before the game.
You're such a desperate...
And then I think when they went 1-0 up, I think I put money on us, which meant I'd get nothing if... I'd break even if we won. They get about £18, so they're about 30 quid.
I'm bored already.
And then we got back to 2-2, I then put more money on them. I lost a tenner, basically.
Good.
Yeah, thrilled. Great story.
You're not getting it off me.
Heroes and villains then, before we close this one out quick.
A tweet from Phil Hay says that Bielsa cruised in and out of his press conference like it was a regular win. So Marcelo Bielsa can be a hero for that.
England for a villainy.
Oh, I like this. Rowett said that Leeds taught Millwall a lesson, but complained about pressure being put on the referee at half-time and wouldn't say by who.
Victor Orta.
Yep.
Andrea Radrizzani.
Well, Andrea Radrizzani's tweet. I'm going to nominate Andrea as a villain for that tweet. Because if we'd have lost that game, as it looked like we might, nobody needed a tweet from the chairman complaining about the referee at halftime. Just take his phone off him permanently.
Long game.
Yeah, exactly. Just cool out. Leave it to the fans and Jean-Kevin to get angry about it. Jean-Kevin can have a nomination as hero. Also, Pat Bamford and Little Ian too, for the way he looks like he's had the best night of his life. Welcome to a proper club, my son.
Someone who was calling the ref a cheat at halftime, who I applaud, was the ball boy who was in front of the East Stand. As the ref was walking off, we could see him pointing at him going, cheat, 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 which was very pleasing. And I'm not sure if it was the same ball boy in the second half. He was probably more in front of the cop. Kind of in the, he was in the northeast corner.
Yeah.
And he just had the ball in his hand and was just waiting for the Millwall player to come and get it. Like, there you go. See ya.
I think all the ball boys and girls did a very good job tonight.
You see the one that Alioski gave a kiss on the head to?
Yes, because I told you about that earlier in the podcast.
Did you?
Yes. Our listeners will be paying attention anyway.
You didn't say
anyway.
About a kiss, but you know.
I did.
Did you?
Yes. We were talking about him keeping calm when all around him.
You probably mentioned it in between his gantry mentions.
Alioski can have a...
Andrew Hughes, clang. Phil Hay, clang. Boring.
Alioski can have a nomination for being that good in the second half. And Helder Costa too, I thought was very good. Click, villain. Should have scored. Should have been 4-2.
Yeah.
And Matt Smith, hero, because... You know, he didn't score.
In fairness to Click, I did tweet from the Square Ball account earlier about it. This being must be what heroin's like. And Click has liked that. So, on that bombshell.
Fucking hell, I look forward to reading that in the Daily Mirror tomorrow.
Do drugs, kids. Particularly very hard, dangerous ones.
I am probably going to have to go home and have several sleeping tablets tonight because I reckon I'm not going to sleep after all that adrenaline. I
mean, it's one of those weird ones where you're really tired and... really unable to sleep, isn't it? It feels like you're old Jack Clarked up on Red Bull and your body's really willing you to go asleep, but your mind's just going,
We haven't even mentioned Brentford 0, Nottingham Forest 1, Cardiff City 2, West Bromwich Albion 1. Wigan Athletic 2, Sheffield Wednesday 1.
Oh, Gary Monk, just a minute. The monk is hissing and he's saying, I mean, I speak parcel.
The monk is hissing.
I speak parcel tongue and it says, I always try and protect the players, but there's no protecting that. There are some players that shouldn't be here at this club and there are players that do. There needs to be change.
Well, there will be when you get relegated. That'll be a big change. We are 2 points clear at the top of the championship. How have we got through... What's our recent form been? That's our first win in 4. Only our second win in, it only goes back to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like some, a while. We lost the last 3 and we're top of the league by 2 points and +2 on goal difference. We're clear of Forest by 4 points and 8 goals. That's mad, isn't it?
It's lying.
Here we are.
It's Haven's lying.
And all we need to do now is go on and beat Wigan, which is easy.
Another villain nomination before we go, Jed Wallace, when he scored the penalty.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, fuck off.
I think he was asking for those objects to be thrown at him from the cop.
I would, and from the cheese wedges had a go at him as well. He waited ages. The referee was sorting something out in the box, and he was like, "No, something has been thrown." And I play for the Millwall, and I've never seen the likes of this before. But him and Jed Wallace and Woods, good players. That's annoying. Don't know what the fuck they're doing playing for Millwall.
I don't want people throwing stuff from the family stand.
Yeah, don't do that.
But I did want one of those bottles to hit Jed Wallace right in the face.
But it still shouldn't happen.
I can't lie and say I didn't want one to hit him in the face, because I did.
Should you find yourself on the receiving end of a football banning order for hitting a footballer in
don't
the face?
Don't do it.
Can Levi's listeners help?
I wouldn't have thrown it myself, and I would encourage other people not to do it. However, when stuff was being thrown, I thought, would it be such a shame if one of them knocked his nose back into his face?
I think poor old Levi's, they may be glad of like the extra business this sponsorship gets them, but they may wonder about the sort of...
Specialising in conveyancing football banning orders.
Oh, listen, should we go home?
I want to go where Jean-Kevin is.
He'll be partying all night, won't he, tonight with Mendy. Right, listen, let's shoot off. So thanks for listening to the Match Ball. We'll return with the Phil Hayes show, where we'll try and make something a lot more we'll behave ourselves with Phil, yeah, don't we?
You've got to go and bleep out that from earlier, haven't you, as well? Yeah. So
I'll do that right now then. Cheers for listening. Thanks to Levi's listeners. Sorry about everything. See you in a bit. Bye.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.